Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, we spend most of our waking hours at work, but what happens when your job feels like a burden rather than a joy? And I suspect that applies to so many people. Well, tonight I'm joined by Michael Gullen from the corporate learning company Gullen and Gullen. He's chief executive, and he believes that by making a few strategic adjustments, anyone can find happiness and success in their career. Well, my interest is certainly piqued. Michael, good evening to you and welcome. You mentioned that a little reflection and self-evaluation can help find greater satisfaction at work. What do you want us to do?
Well, I think the first thing is to take accountability, and that really starts with just taking a look at what it is about our jobs we're not enjoying, and thinking about the things that we do enjoy that excite and energize us, and then based on that, figuring out what it is that we're strong at and that we can improve, and applying those sorts of insights to our day-to-day approach to work.
That sounds like very practical advice, but let me push you a little bit. What would you say to someone who feels very disillusioned, completely disconnected from the job, and believes that self-reflection alone is not going to be enough to change things?
Yeah. You know, I think that is a challenge that most of us at some point or another in our careers face. And when we get to that point, it's about empowering ourselves by identifying where is that we can improve our skills. And I think there's nothing that makes us feel more empowered than doing something about it. And in this day and age that we live in, we have access to the ability to learn and acquire new skills, whether it's an e-learning program run by the organization or company we work in, or the more openly available online courses and programs that are available on the internet.
Michael, you wouldn't be raising this issue unless you were sensing a greater sense of vocational disillusionment. Or am I overhyping this?
No, you're not. You're not. I think that there is so much toxicity that exists in the sort of broader corporate environment, and part of the challenge that most of us face, or certainly the people that are aware of this, is really thinking about what are the toxic elements that affect their day-to-day working environment, and how do they take their power back? You know, how do they strengthen their individual skill sets that allow them to be able to engage in the tasks and the aspects of their job that fulfill them, so that they can take on more responsibility and grow their careers within the environment that they work in.
You talk about those toxic elements within an organization. Is there a commonality, I wonder?
Yeah, there is. There is. You know, I think the biggest challenge that we see, certainly in the companies that we work with, is the lack of ability to grow within an organization, and the inability to do something about it. You know, there's so much that's being asked of employees in their day-to-day roles, but very little support being given to them, or a sort of a tendency to be left to get on with it themselves. And so again, you know, it comes back to employee or personal working in a company, figuring out how do they solve that problem, you know, themselves. How do they acquire the skills that they need to free them of that sort of toxic environment?
And Michael Gullen, part of the issue is putting up your hand and being a little bit more proactive. Yeah. And you suggest that employees need to utilize those strengths and perhaps become a little bit more assertive in telling people about it. But it's difficult sometimes if an employee approaches a manager who is resistant to changing their responsibilities if it doesn't align with the company's immediate needs. Therein is a hurdle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the area where we see most employees kind of get squashed, and that desire to do something kind of dissipate. And it's really about taking stock of, you know, as you're saying just now, the tasks that energize people, but also figuring out the areas where they can add more value. And sometimes it isn't necessarily about speaking to the people that they report to, but quite simply doing something about it, starting to figure out what can they do more of, and putting up their hands and just proactively putting their heads down and getting involved in the areas where they can add more value. That align with their strengths.
It takes a bit of courage to do that, though.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It absolutely does, particularly when there is resistance from management. But I think that the thing to always remember is that managers want their teams to excel, because when their teams excel, not only they not only look good, but they make their managers look good. So with an understanding of that, kind of it gives people a little bit of confidence to lean into the courage that it takes to apply those principles. Because if we do well, we make our managers and our companies look good, and by that way, we grow our careers.
That's a fair point, but there's also a degree of risk attached to that. If it doesn't work, then you could find yourself with the proverbial pink slip.
Oh, absolutely. What tends to happen in the corporate world is we succeed together, but we fail on our own. So, yeah, absolutely. There is that risk associated with it.
So you've just got to be able to manage and mitigate that properly with the caveat that, you've also got bills to pay.
Absolutely. And again, within the context of that, it's all about being objective, objectively looking at your strengths and weaknesses, understanding that none of ourselves are perfect, and just figuring out what is that growth path that we apply ourselves to, and being patient in upskilling and reskilling ourselves so that we can start to take those small micro chances in the workplace. And when we do that, the risk is not that great, and the chance for success is much higher.
Michael, you've also got another piece of good advice. So you tell employees to distance themselves from negative colleagues, and I absolutely understand that. However, sometimes those negative colleagues are also influential people in the workplace. Difficult to handle toxic leadership that could bring the team and even the individual down. Again, it requires a lot of careful planning, I would imagine.
It does. It absolutely does. And the flip side to that is that often the people that are most challenging are our greatest teachers. So I think that my advice, and something we really focus on, is avoid the toxic people that we work with, whether it's a manager, a senior person, or a colleague. But be mindful of the fact that often the toxicity and the sort of negative impact of those individuals provides an opportunity to learn and identify the things that we can work on or improve, or simply address our interpersonal skills, or learn greater resilience, and by the same token, then look to gravitate to positive and uplifting relationships and work with those colleagues that uplift and inspire us.
Just a final one. You talk about the do it now, do it scared, do it anyway mantra. I absolutely accept that and I like it. But sometimes it's just simple burnout, and that maybe people are just overwhelmed by taking on too much without any clear support and direction. And maybe before doing what you suggest, they just need to gear back slightly and, again, engage in a little bit of healthy self-reflection.
Jeremy, I couldn't agree with you more. I think do it now, do it scared, do it anyway. It's not necessarily a mantra for actual action, but very much is a mantra for just moving forward with an intent. And often that intent is exactly as you've said. It's take the time to reflect first, get the strength and find the sort of the space to move forward with physical or mental action.
Some good advice, Michael Gullen. I'm going to leave it there for this evening. Thank you so much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.